English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2010, Basic Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part one twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Today I have the pleasure to interview the French-American actor Julie Delpy. Ms. Delpy, how did you manage to write, direct, act in, edit, and produce your movie, 2 Days in Paris?
I wanted to go through the whole process from beginning to end, do it all myself. And as you know, women are born for carrying out everything at once.
Do you consider yourself detail-oriented or more interested in ideas, Julie?
Well, you know, I was very concerned about what people were wearing in the film and with the color of a balloon in a photo.
What kind of boss are you?
I'm understanding, but strong. I noticed from many years of acting that the directors who make a film crew happy usually know what they want and make decisions fast.
2 Days in Paris is a romantic comedy. Do you think you are unconventional in your own romantic relationships?
I wouldn't date myself, but I guess my boyfriend stays with me because I love him more than anyone in the world. I wouldn't date myself as I don't give men enough attention. They don't like it. Actually, maybe I should date myself, after all.
Do you consider yourself an eccentric, unconventional in some way?
I don't know. It's like when you're mad. Do you see yourself as crazy, or is it the world that seems crazy to you? I think people who have normal lives are a little strange. They worry me. They do normal things, but I feel that one day something will burst in them.
How are you different from your parents?
I'm more goal-oriented, even though when I reach the goals, I realize right away that the process of getting to the goal is the only thing I like. My parents are totally free people. They're not interested in money or material things.
Have you become Americanized?
Yes. Since I've moved to Hollywood, I go to the gym. And when I exercise, I chew a lot of gum. And I've started composing and recording music. I actually sang in 2 Days in Paris.
Are French people more tolerant of unusual people, of eccentric individuals, than Americans?
One thing I love about Americans is that they even take criticism well, whereas the French can't take it at all. But Americans are puritanical. Politicians in France are not judged by their sex lives. Otherwise, there would be a scandal every day.
Have you always been sensitive?
I've never liked it if someone is truly sad or hurt, and I'm very careful and caring to people with real pain. If someone is a diva or making up their problems, I don't go along with that. I hate brats. So I've become a bit tough to protect myself.
How have you managed to do so, Julie?
Just like when you get calluses on your fingers when you play the guitar. It hurts for a while. Then you don't feel a thing. But when you don't play for a while, the softness comes back, and you have to suffer again. So being tough is just a little layer, but underneath it's soft and pink.
Julie Delpy, thank you for this interview, and I can't wait to see your next movie.
Now listen to the same interview in 5 sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Today I have the pleasure to interview the French-American actor Julie Delpy. Ms. Delpy, how did you manage to write, direct, act in, edit, and produce your movie, 2 Days in Paris?
I wanted to go through the whole process from beginning to end, do it all myself. And as you know, women are born for carrying out everything at once.
Do you consider yourself detail-oriented or more interested in ideas, Julie?
Well, you know, I was very concerned about what people were wearing in the film and with the color of a balloon in a photo.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
What kind of boss are you?
I'm understanding, but strong. I noticed from many years of acting that the directors who make a film crew happy usually know what they want and make decisions fast.
2 Days in Paris is a romantic comedy. Do you think you are unconventional in your own romantic relationships?
I wouldn't date myself, but I guess my boyfriend stays with me because I love him more than anyone in the world. I wouldn't date myself as I don't give men enough attention. They don't like it. Actually, maybe I should date myself, after all.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
Do you consider yourself an eccentric, unconventional in some way?
I don't know. It's like when you're mad. Do you see yourself as crazy, or is it the world that seems crazy to you? I think people who have normal lives are a little strange. They worry me. They do normal things, but I feel that one day something will burst in them.
How are you different from your parents?
I'm more goal-oriented, even though when I reach the goals, I realize right away that the process of getting to the goal is the only thing I like. My parents are totally free people. They're not interested in money or material things.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
Have you become Americanized?
Yes. Since I've moved to Hollywood, I go to the gym. And when I exercise, I chew a lot of gum. And I've started composing and recording music. I actually sang in 2 Days in Paris.
Are French people more tolerant of unusual people, of eccentric individuals, than Americans?
One thing I love about Americans is that they even take criticism well, whereas the French can't take it at all. But Americans are puritanical. Politicians in France are not judged by their sex lives. Otherwise, there would be a scandal every day.
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
Have you always been sensitive?
I've never liked it if someone is truly sad or hurt, and I'm very careful and caring to people with real pain. If someone is a diva or making up their problems, I don't go along with that. I hate brats. So I've become a bit tough to protect myself.
How have you managed to do so, Julie?
Just like when you get calluses on your fingers when you play the guitar. It hurts for a while. Then you don't feel a thing. But when you don't play for a while, the softness comes back, and you have to suffer again. So being tough is just a little layer, but underneath it's soft and pink.
Julie Delpy, thank you for this interview, and I can't wait to see your next movie.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Today we'll hear Michael and Jill talking about the Eiffel Tower, which, as you know, is a bit over 120 years old.
When the Eiffel Tower opens to the admiring public each day, the structure comes to life. Crowds gaily climb up and down its stairs, eating, drinking and flirting on the three platforms high in the sky.
Yes, Michael, and that's today. Actually, the tower is so, beloved that few today remember the earlier storm of bitter criticism and lawsuits. This was provoked by its selection as the startling centrepiece of the 1889 Paris Exposition. And one of the losing entries was a gigantic working guillotine.
Yes, Jill, it came in for its share of criticism, even as the engineer Gustave Eiffel was breaking ground by the Seine River, 47 of France's greatest names cried out in a letter to the newspaper Le Temps. Leading painters, writers, architects, even composers all signed this strongly worded letter to the editor. They stated that the Eiffel Tower is without a doubt the shame of Paris. And the Times wrote that the French are not proud to show this gigantic iron structure to strangers.
But what happened then, Michael? Well, from the first day the Eiffel Tower opened in 1889, fairgoers flocked to go up its dizzying heights. From high up, they enjoyed the spectacle of Paris looking tiny. An Eiffel Tower industry was born. Tiny gold charms, solid chocolates, photos, and on and on.
After all, it was the world's tallest structure, almost twice as tall as the next building. Note that the original contract called for it to be entirely removed after 20 years. Gustave Eiffel made sure of the survival of his work by making it a necessary part of the French military's radio network.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Now listen to the same discussion in three sections. Look at questions 11 and 12.
Today we'll hear Michael and Jill talking about the Eiffel Tower, which, as you know, is a bit over 120 years old.
When the Eiffel Tower opens to the admiring public each day, the structure comes to life. Crowds gaily climb up and down its stairs, eating, drinking and flirting on the three platforms high in the sky.
Yes, Michael, and that's today. Actually, the tower is so, beloved, that few today remember the earlier storm of bitter criticism and lawsuits. This was provoked by its selection as the startling centrepiece of the 1889 Paris Exposition. And one of the losing entries was a gigantic working guillotine.
Answer questions 11 and 12, then look at question 13.
Yes, Jill, it came in for its share of criticism, even as the engineer Gustave Eiffel was breaking ground by the Seine River, 47 of France's greatest names cried out in a letter to the newspaper Le Temps. Leading painters, writers, architects, even composers all signed this strongly worded letter to the editor. They stated that the Eiffel Tower is without a doubt the shame of Paris. And the Times wrote that the French are not proud to show this gigantic iron structure to strangers.
Answer question 13, then look at questions 14 and 15.
But what happened then, Michael? Well, from the first day the Eiffel Tower opened in 1889, fairgoers flocked to go up its dizzying heights. From high up, they enjoyed the spectacle of Paris looking tiny. An Eiffel Tower industry was born. Tiny gold charms, solid chocolates, photos, and on and on.
After all, it was the world's tallest structure, almost twice as tall as the next building. Note that the original contract called for it to be entirely removed after 20 years. Gustave Eiffel made sure of the survival of his work by making it a necessary part of the French military's radio network.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Answer questions 14 and 15. This is the third part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 16.
A man wearing a suit and driving a BMW tried to rob a Boston-area bank at gunpoint. But he was stopped when an employee texted for help. The bank wasn't open yet.
How had the robber gotten inside?
He was withdrawing money from an automat beside the door. Then he forced his way into the bank when an employee walked inside. And he ordered employees to try to open the locked vault. In the confusion, one of the workers sent a text message. The police came in less than a minute.
Answer question 16, then look at question 17.
I just read about a fellow who broke his leg in a motorbike crash 30 years ago. His leg hadn't actually healed.
You're pulling my leg?
I asked for that. 30 years ago, the biker had an operation. Then the doctors told him his leg was okay, so he walked around on it. Last week, he was in the hospital with a problem with a sore toe, and a doctor said something must be wrong with his leg.
And was it?
Yes, after 30 years, the leg still hadn't healed. And he has been told a new procedure has a 99% chance of success.
Well, that's a relief.
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Did you read about the accident with the eagle?
No, what happened?
A fishhook got stuck on her wing in 2008, but she was rescued, treated, and released. She was flying too close to a fishing boat. Then, last Thursday, a car hit her on Highway 169, and she got stuck on the front of the car.
And did the bird die?
No, she broke a bone, but she's expected to be released in the next month or so.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
Douglas had to make an insurance claim.
I know. The storm last month weakened his roof, which resulted in a leak.
But did you know his insurance company told him it would not pay out? Because the wind on the day measured only 44 miles an hour. His insurance company told him a storm has winds of at least 55 miles an hour. And Douglas had paid thousands of pounds over the years for the insurance. Can you imagine?
The mind boggles.
Answer question 19. Look at question 20.
Out in Culver City, there was a strange package left on the counter of the post office. The police bomb squad was called in, but only a Bible was found inside.
Did you say a Bible?
Yeah, I did. Police say the person who left the package on Friday night took off in a hurry and probably didn't put enough stamps on it to get it delivered.
Answer question 20, then look at question 21.
Did you read in the paper about the shopkeeper in Yorkshire who wanted the day after Christmas off?
Don't think I did.
Well, he kept his store open with a sign telling customers to take whatever they needed and leave the money. He used a cereal box to create a container for payments. And the next day, he found £187 in the box. He said he wanted to spend the day with his family and to give his employees the day off as well.
That is really trusting the customers.
And the town.
Answer question 21. Look at question 22.
There was a man who was drunk and threatened some children with a toy gun.
That sounds really terrible.
Well, that's not even the crazy part. He was apparently drunk, and he stopped a group of kids playing basketball and threatened to shoot them if they came onto his property. Then the man clucked like a chicken at the children.
Did what?
He made a clucking sound, cluck, 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 like a chicken. And that was what frightened the children. After all, the gun was just a toy.
Answer question 22, then look at question 23.
Margaret didn't receive any mail for more than 2 months.
Why is that?
You see, her letters were delivered to the people living on the opposite side of the street. She was told by officials that there were only enough sorting boxes in the office to hold letters for houses with even numbers on her street.
That's crazy.
Margaret even offered to buy them some baskets for her side of the street, but they said it was against regulations.
Answer question 23. Look at question 24.
There were two cows that decided to leave their Massachusetts farm and walk at least 5 miles into New Hampshire.
Did you say cows?
Yeah, cows. The sweet girls just got out through a hole in the fence. They walked only 5 miles, but crossed into the next state.
And did anyone notice?
There were a lot of 911 calls from drivers, and the fire department finally found one of them stuck up to her neck in the mud beside the road. The farmer is still looking for the other one, although all the drivers calling 911 said they saw the two together.
Answer question 24, then look at question 25.
Sally told me about a robbery in Guildford. Two robbers sped away with £60,000 worth of gems in a stolen high-speed Alfa Romeo sports car.
Were they caught?
Yes. When they tried to escape, the robber driving took his foot off the pedal every time they went through restricted areas. They were doing 25 in a 30-mile-an-hour area. Would you believe it?
And so the police caught up in just a moment.
Of course.
Answer question 25. This is the fourth part of the test. There are 5 sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A. Listen to this section.
The mayor of Toledo, Ohio, doesn't fear anything. A YouTube video shows the Ohio mayor biking through a city park. Then he saw a fight and stepped in to break it up, yelling at the teens and calling one a fatso. The 70-year-old walked right into the middle of about 20 young people. He is heard yelling, "Come here, big fellow, and you, get your butt out of here." The teens were so surprised they stopped fighting.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
The mayor of Toledo, Ohio, doesn't fear anything. A YouTube video shows the Ohio mayor biking through a city park. Then he saw a fight and stepped in to break it up, yelling at the teens and calling one a fatso. The 70-year-old walked right into the middle of about 20 young people. He's heard yelling, "Come here, big fellow, and you, get your butt out of here." The teens were so surprised they stopped fighting.
Read question B. Question B, listen to this section.
Australian firefighters made a 2-hour rescue in an unusual situation. A bird was stuck in a tree. Firefighters said they were called to the scene Thursday after the peacock was spotted hanging upside down 65 feet up in a tree. The firefighters had to saw out several branches to free the peacock. They used a chainsaw to get it out and an axe. The rescuers said the bird was brought back to the ground at about 9 p.m. Peacocks are not known as strong flyers, but they do sit in trees.
Now listen to this again. And then answer the question.
Australian firefighters made a 2-hour rescue in an unusual situation. A bird was stuck in a tree. Firefighters said they were called to the scene Thursday after the peacock was spotted hanging upside down 65 feet up in a tree. The firefighters had to saw out several branches to free the peacock. They used a chainsaw to get it out and an axe. The rescuer said the bird was brought back to the ground at about 9 p.m. Peacocks are not known as strong flyers, but they do sit in trees.
Read question C. Question C, listen to this section.
Charles Smythe found something interesting close to home. A vase that sat in an outside garden for 20 years was found to be a 3,000-year-old ancient Egyptian artifact. Charles said it came from an uncle who was a bit of a collector. Since Charles didn't know what it was, he kept it on the patio and in the shed over the years. It was just used as a decorative piece, a lump of stone. Then he looked at it and saw it had a face on it, and so he took it in to be valued, and was told it was from ancient Egypt.
Now listen to this again, and then answer the question.
Charles Smythe found something interesting close to home. A vase that sat in an outside garden for 20 years was found to be a 3,000-year-old ancient Egyptian artifact. Charles said it came from an uncle who was a bit of a collector. Since Charles didn't know what it was, he kept it on the patio and in the shed over the years. It was just used as a decorative piece, a lump of stone. Then he looked at it and saw it had a face on it, and so he took it in to be valued and was told it was from ancient Egypt.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
An electronic road sign in Indiana was apparently hacked last Monday morning. The computer hackers used the sign to warn of dinosaurs in the road. The sign read, "Caution! Dinosaurs ahead!" Computer geeks and geniuses are always looking for new ways to play tricks on people. One driver said she was kind of expecting dinosaurs to run down the road or something. The sign was marking a construction site.
Now listen to this again, and then answer the question.
An electronic road sign in Indiana was apparently hacked last Monday morning. The computer hackers used the sign to warn of dinosaurs in the road. The sign read, "Caution! Dinosaurs ahead!" Computer geeks and geniuses are always looking for new ways to play tricks on people. One driver said she was kind of expecting dinosaurs to run down the road or something. The sign was marking a construction site.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
Anna was left without a ride after her cocker spaniel ate her car key. The dog took the key into his mouth when Anna dropped it at home in Leeds. The dog refused to let go, so Anna grabbed a piece of sausage to try to get him to open his mouth. But he just swallowed the keys and the sausage in one bite. Anna is taking the dog to the vets to get the key back.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Anna was left without a ride after her cocker spaniel ate her car key. The dog took the key into his mouth when Anna dropped it at home in Leeds. The dog refused to let go, so Anna grabbed a piece of sausage to try to get him to open his mouth. But he just swallowed the keys and the sausage in one bite. Anna is taking the dog to the vets to get the key back.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.